The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 119 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Ewan Cameron and shock horror, yes, Stephen is on holiday once again. That boy is always on holiday. What kind of money is he being paid, sweaty octopus?
He's on the big bucks, Ewan.
He's clearly on the big bucks. He's always on bucking holidays,
I
that boy.
I think he's trying to bring back Scottish passport. Do you remember that with Brian Burnett back in the day? I think Stephen's trying to bring that
Was that
back.
Once a thing?
Aye, Scottish passport.
When was that out?
That was STV. That's a legendary programme of STV.
But what, when was that? Remember, I didn't come back to Scotland until the noughties.
I think that must have been early noughties, late 90s, Ewan.
All right, okay. I wonder if our guests remember Scottish Passport. We'll find out in just a wee second. But the show must go on without Stephen Mill, and I've invited a good friend to replace him today. Most notable for his role as receptionist in Driving Lessons. And of course, what a performance this was, is the farmer in Wild Country. And we've got a clip.
Aye, what's this?
No!
I'll have to go and see about it. I'll just take a minute.
That's a form of bullying, bringing that up, Ewan. That's really, that's brought some demons for the past.
From River City and Scott Squad, it's only Jordan Young. Jordan Young's here.
I'll clap myself. There you go. Yes, here I'm. Here I'm.
I mean, that clip we just played there from that movie, The Farmer, being a farmer in the Wild Country. I mean, Oscar winning, mate. BAFTA winning.
Yes, not me, not the film. Well, Martin Compson was in it. He was the lead.
Yeah.
Peter Capaldi.
He clearly did a better job than you. Look at what he's done.
Absolutely a better job. That was, it was a career. I just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not going to slag it off, but yeah. Aye, thanks for playing that.
What could have been?
Yeah, what could have been?
What could have been?
I could have been in line of duty. But I'm not.
Thank you for popping in to see us, though.
Thanks for having me
back. Because the last time you were in, it was a very popular show. Very popular show. Really? Some boys and a lot of ladies were happy to see Jordan Young on the show. You have a big following, my friends.
Well, I don't believe you, but thanks.
There was a lot of chat about your cheekbone.
Right, okay, just the one of them.
Well, cheekbones.
Bones, yes,
cheekbones, plural. And that chin of yours, that kind of like, yeah. Have you had some work done? Because it does look a bit more chiselled.
I'd love to say I have, but no.
Have you ever had any sort of work done?
Not a thing.
Have you done the Ozempic thing just, or there's
no.
that
sound? I'll tell you, I'm off the drink at the minute. I'm pretty much cut out sugar and I'm doing a lot of running. So that's the work I've been doing. So I have been doing a lot of work, but it's been running.
Do look a bit more sleek? Trimmed.
God, you should be my agent. You're amazing.
But you do.
Thanks, pal.
But you do. Do you not notice it's Sweaty Octopus?
Aye, Jordan's the housewife's favourite, isn't he? What's in the range?
The grand's favourite.
Lying up where we've got Jordan on. At least we've got someone good looking on for once.
You're a cheeky bastard.
Come on now.
Right?
Come
see,
on.
I was in Aberdeen at the weekend, right, doing a Cash for Kids lunch, and see if I was a single guy. I mean, I've still got it.
I think you have. I think you're tidy. Yes.
For a certain demographic.
Yeah, yes.
What's your demographic?
Always the grands.
Always the grands. Always. Do you find that grands approach you?
No, I find that women of a certain age will approach me and ask for a photo for their mum.
Oh.
Which is always quite...
Yeah.
But you know, it's nice. It's
still
grands.
Nice,
it's nice that there's some grands out there that think of...
How old are you?
I'm just turned 45.
I thought you were younger than that.
Thank you, mate. Honestly, you're on a charm offensive.
Sleek, chiseled,
yes.
Younger than 45.
Oofed.
I'm not after anything.
No.
I'm just happy you're here.
Just pals.
Just pals. Been pals for a long time, mate. How was the panel?
Great. Had a brilliant time. Big Grant Stott, Claire Gray, Gail Watson. It was brilliant.
It was in Edinburgh, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Lovely.
What was the panel?
Cinderella.
What part did you play? You played the Prince, didn't you?
Me?
Did you not play the Prince?
I was Buttons.
You were Buttons?
I'm your daft boy. I'm your silly billy.
Okay, right, so, yeah. What do you think of Rangers this season? We'll talk more about it later.
I've not got enough time, but yeah, please, let's talk about it. Aye.
You annoyed? You pissed off?
I'm flummoxed.
You're flummoxed? That's a good word.
I'm confused. I'm discombobulated. Better word. It's... They keep reeling you in. They keep reeling you in. And then they wee-wee all over you, or if I'm allowed to swear, but you know.
You're sounding what you like. Producer John, go and Google that word for me, discombobulate. And
discombobulate.
Go and Google that for me, please.
Kind of confused, Ewan.
You're kind of confused. Yeah. Kind of confused by Rangers. Yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. And all the football from the weekend and talking on the weekend, out with the football. What did you get up to, Jordan Young?
What did I get up to the weekend? Yesterday went to see my mate in the Pavilion Theatre, Johnny McKnight. He's a panto legend in Scotland.
Okay.
And he was doing, it was basically a lecture on panto. He's a renowned dame, and he was talking about panto, the history of panto and how it's progressing, and it was phenomenal. It was really good.
I'd never asked. Jeez.
Come on, I'm trying to be cultured.
Yeah.
Trying to be.
Was that the highlight of your weekend? It sounds like it probably was.
No, I tell you, the highlight was watching Michael McIntyre's Big Show on Saturday night. That was brilliant. Loved it. Kids on the couch, four of us, my wife, two kids, sweeties, watching it. It was amazing.
Michael McIntyre.
Yep.
Saturday night telly with Michael McIntyre.
We watched, we had Traitors recorded, then we watched Gladiators, the Michael McIntyre. Maybe I should have lied when I went out club, man. I got mad with it, honestly. I've not been to my bed for 3 days. That's what I meant. Did I say Michael McIntyre? That was just a joke. I have not been to my bed. I went to Ibiza on Friday night.
Did you?
Flew back this morning.
And you've not had any sleep?
Nah.
Oh,
I've not showered or nothing.
Nothing.
Mental.
Yeah, manky get ya. So I'm going to tell you about my weekend, and it's going to lead to a couple of wee things that this young lady was not going to expect today when she went to work on Saturday.
Right.
So I was in Aberdeen on Thursday and Friday to host a Cash for Kids lunch, and we raised over £90,000.
Wow.
Which was for Cash for Kids. So we had a brilliant lunch. So I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, wake up in the hotel in Aberdeen, and I get the train straight to Waverley. And then from Waverley, I was at the radio station, Fourth One, for the big Scottish football show. But I was an hour and a half early. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really hang around the studio, so I dumped my bags off and I went down the stairs and I went to H&B Beauty, which has got all these high-end fragrances. Like, it's got Dior in there, Tom Ford, Parfums de Marly, Chanel, all the big brands are in there. And Dior have got a new fragrance out just now. And I love the original Dior Homme Intense.
Right.
But they've got a new one out for 2025. So I thought, well, while I've got some time to kill, I'm going to go down the stairs and I'm going to go and have a wee smell of this new Dior fragrance. So I go in and there's a couple of lovely ladies there. And this young lady who I approach, I said to her, do you have the new Dior Intense 2025? And her line to me was this, and I'll explain it to you if you haven't heard. She said to me, can't you get that at Channel 5? And what she means by that is that I am now known as Channel 5's Ewan Cameron because I appeared on Channel 5 over the Christmas New Year holidays.
Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Yeah, right, you can kill that now. So this is now stuck. Anywhere I go now, people are going, all right, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. How you doing, mate? You're getting white guys in white vans rolling down their windows screaming at me, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. So this has been going on for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So her reply to me about this new fragrance was, can't you get that on Channel 5? I went, oh, you're joking. I went, let me go and record you saying that so I can play it on the podcast, because everyone says Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Yeah.
And we've actually got a video clip of Becky at Dior in Edinburgh at the St. James Quarter.
What's your name?
Becky.
Becky, what did you just say to me?
But do you get it on Channel 5?
why do you know that?
Because you're Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Uh-huh. And where'd you hear that?
On the podcast. Uh-huh. I'd never miss an episode, Jambo Bear.
She's great, isn't she?
Very good. She loves the podcast, never missed an episode, and had a wee bit of banter. And the good news is, We've got Becky on the show today.
Oh, brilliant.
What are you up to, Becky? Where are you just now?
I'm in H Beauty St James's Quarter, hiding in the office.
So you're taking time out to speak to us on the podcast?
Yes, in the wee Skype.
Aye, so it was lovely meeting you on Saturday when I came in to have a look at the new Dior Homme Intense, which is out for 2025. And then I bumped into you, and I know that you don't ever miss an episode and that you love the podcast. And I've asked you to come on today for a particular reason, Becky, is that you know that Jordan Young, who is here with me today on the podcast, star of River City and Scott Squad and Panto and movies and everything. Now, before we get to the question I'm going to ask you, you know Jordan Young. Where have you met him before?
I've seen you at Croy train station a couple of times.
Oh, yes, that's correct. Yes. I'm getting all nervous, but I've got sweaty palms.
So you do go to Croy train station. You can confirm that?
I'm not a train spotter. Like, can we just clear up that I'm it's usually a commute to at Panto time. That is true. Yes, I'm not standing there in an anorak marking down the trains.
Right.
Or anything,
okay. But,
yes.
But you do use Croy train station,
and
Becky's seen you there. And there's another thing I need to tell you about Becky is that when I told her that you were a Celtic fan, you're a Rangers fan. That you're a Rangers fan. She's a Celtic fan.
Right.
That she doesn't like you as much as she probably did.
Right. Okay.
So she now used to fancy you.
well, that was a win. Then you know.
And then she found out you're a Rangers fan. And what did you say, Becky, when you found out you was a Rangers fan?
Well, I'll be recommending you do for Superdrug now.
So if Jordan was to come into Dior at the St James Quarter, Becky, right? Let's be serious for a second here. You can see the man. You know the man. What would you recommend Jordan to wear? What sort of fragrance do you think would suit him?
So I would go for Spiceland from La Collection Privée, one of our exclusive fragrances. So La Collection Privée, if you don't know French, means a private collection. So it's an ambery, spicy fragrance which has rum, black pepper and ginger. And it's described as spicy, intoxicating, a bit like yourself.
Oh.
Spicy and intoxicating, just like yourself.
I think that's a compliment, isn't it?
It is a compliment, yes, aye. Yes. What's the name of that one again, Becky?
Spice Blend.
Spice Blend. Show me that bottle again. Let me have a look at it. And how big a bottle is that?
That's a 200ml bottle.
And how much would that cost me?
£375.
I'm a fifer. I'll tell you right now, Becky, I will never, ever be spending £300 in Dior in St James's Quarter. But are you got any like wee bottles, like any 20ml?
Well, Becky gave me some testers when I was in on Saturday, so she wanted me to give you a tester. I'm going to give them Toba Colour. Is that a good one?
Bacalar, yes, men love that one.
Go on, try that.
Lovely, thank you.
Give it a wee review. Go and spray that about and have a wee smell of it.
I wonder if this reflects my personality.
Let's have a look. Becky, when is that new Dior out?
Sometime in February. It's in our store, the Dior Homme one.
Aye. What do you think? What do you think of that? Do you like it? Would you wear it?
I would, actually. It's quite, what's the word? Strong.
Aye.
Like me, like my personality. Spicy, bitter and strong.
Becky, see, before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Celtic fan.
Yes.
Happy with things?
I don't know. I feel like we're a wee bit off it lately.
Oh, really? Even though you're like 13 points clear at the top of the league?
Yeah, but we're not as quick and, we're having to work a wee bit harder than now.
Yeah. You'll get through in Europe, though. You'll beat Young Boys during the week, won't you?
Well, I hope so, if we turn up.
Are you going to turn up for that game? Are you going to be there?
No, I'll be watching it on the telly.
Oh, you're working, are you?
Yeah.
Nightmare. Well, Becky, it was lovely meeting you on Saturday, and I will be in when the new Dior comes in, all right?
Magic.
All right, then. Say cheerio, Jordan.
Lovely to see you, Becky. Say hello next time we're at Croy.
Maybe your binoculars. See you.
Cheers, Becky.
Cheers,
bye.
Pal, thank you.
Bye. That was Becky from Dior, who's a big fan of the podcast and was a huge fan of yours until she found out you're a Rangers man.
Well, that's fickle, isn't it?
And
that's
then
fickle.
It all changed. So at this point in the show, we always do a film recommendation. And I've decided to hand that responsibility to you, Jordan, because I didn't watch anything at the weekend because I was away working in Aberdeen. I was really busy. So it's over to you to give us a movie recommendation for our listeners.
Right, movie recommendation, it's family orientated, is Moana 2. Went with my two kids on Thursday, I think, last week.
Moana 2.
I saw the first one years ago when I just had one daughter, and I've got two daughters, and it was great.
So we've gone from Michael McIntyre, Traitors, to Moana 2.
And then I sent the girls home and I went out clubbing. And I've no been to my bed since. Then I went to Ibiza. And that's on the space of 4 days because I am mental.
Right, there you go. The movie recommendation from Jordan Young is Moana 2. I know that the Sweaty Octopus has taken up my recommendation from last week and he's been watching the Jerry Springer documentary on Netflix. What do you think about it, Sweaty Octopus?
Very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you learn things about Jerry Springer, how the show worked?
Yes.
Quite
very
controversial,
so.
Eh?
I wouldn't want to be one of his producers.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to be
one of his
them.
Guests, for that matter.
No, you don't want to be any of it. Do you know what? You must remember Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Watch the documentary on Netflix. It's eye-opening.
Is it harrowing?
It's like, all of it.
Is it?
It's every word you can think of in the dictionary.
Discombobulating.
Yeah, that as well. So let's get to some of your feedback from last week's podcast. From the fizzer on the Arctic Roll. You had an Arctic Roll? You must have had an Arctic Roll. Which is
No, for years.
Well, I had one last week for the first time in years and years and years, so we've got some feedback on that. From the fizzer, my Australian wife Danielle hears a podcast in the background when I listen. She heard about the Arctic Roll and is now on the prowl here in Australia to make it for me this weekend. Looking forward to it along with the Christmas underwear. Thanks, Ewan. So my wife had got me an Arctic Roll, and I'd also, she'd bought some underwear. And when she says, I've got a surprise for you, I thought it was going to be an Arctic Roll with underwear. It was...
Would you want those two together? Would you? Like, was it her in the underwear or was it underwear for you?
No, I thought I was getting her in the underwear, delivering the Arctic Roll.
I mean, I know a lot of folk are into that kind of thing. Nah, that's two separate worlds for me.
Have you ever introduced food?
I can't. No,
like
no comment.
Like 9.5 weeks.
None as messy as that. No.
Sweaty Octopus, do you want to jump in here about food?
Like use in the bedroom. Good use in the bedroom. Is that what you're getting at?
I think the way he asked that question suggests a no.
You wouldn't use an Arctic Roll in the bedroom, would you? It's a bit messy.
There's a plate of super noodles. Fancy going through.
Uh-huh. Michelle says, loved an Arctic Roll. Yeah, they are fantastic. On the Channel 5 song that we played last week, you just heard a wee clip of it there a few minutes ago. Sarah says, you and Channel 5, you and Cameron, going to be in my head until further notice. What a tune that is. We're not playing the whole fucking thing again, are we? Okay. From Craig White, not that Craig White. Surprise, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron doesn't have a freezer full of Viennetta now that he's in the big time with Channel 5. From Key McLeod, if Channel 5's Ewan Cameron grows out his beard, he'll look like a Timo David Letterman. I like David Letterman. On the quiz from last week, Andy says, with Ewan moaning about the lower leagues involved in quiz, am I no right in saying the quiz used to be world football and he got pumped in the quiz that much he asked for it to be limited to Scottish football? I think you find that would be wrong, Andy. I would rather it be on world football and not just Scottish football, but the lazy bastard, Sweaty Octopus, producer John, does Scottish football because it's easier for him. He doesn't have to do too much research on that. Grant on lower league shite, when it comes to the quiz, the title of the podcast should explain why you should get these, Ewan. It is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Obviously, you don't know that much about Scottish football. Well, that's a lie. I'm quite knowledgeable, Jordan.
I think, yeah.
I am, isn't I?
Definitely more knowledgeable than me.
And we've had some amazing conversations in football, and you've learned a lot from me, haven't you?
Well, yeah, let's keep it believable, Ewan. Yes, I've listened to you. Yes.
Yeah, and you've learned things from this podcast.
Yes, yes. I have.
You've gone away from here and showed off with your pals.
Yes.
And not telling them that you heard it from me.
Passed off as my knowledge.
Passed off as your knowledge.
That's what I do. I've got a mate that's incredibly intelligent about football and I just steal his opinions.
Correct. Jamie says, think the Clyde Super Scoreboard boys need to get something to protect the TV from all the toys Ewan chucks out the pram every week after getting pumped at the quiz. Good point, Jamie. And some other bits of feedback. Labaldi Belgian. Oh, that'll be...
I think that's in reference to Philippe Clement.
Yeah. Mm. You a fan? Do you want him? Or do you want him out?
I change my mind on a weekly basis.
Oh, do you? And where are you sitting this week? After your mighty win against Fraserburgh?
I'm more for than against.
More for than against, yes. Interest, so we'll talk more about that shortly. Ewan said that... I got this bit wrong. Ewan said that 27-year-old uncapped Luke McCowan is our future. He's truly clueless. Well, he's still our future. I thought he was a bit younger than that. I didn't realise he was 27. But I still think he's got a future for the Scotland national team as Luke McCowan at 27.
Yeah,
100%. I think he should be getting a game for Celtic.
As soon as he plays for Celtic, that he goes up the rankings.
And I would also suggest as well, based on the recent performances of Hatate, he should be in ahead of Hatate. Hatate should be taken out of the team. I don't think he's been that great. And I think McCowan, every time he's played for Celtic, he hasn't let them down. But again, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
From Lumo, every team in Scotland is taking points off Clement, Bar St Johnston, but Ewan is confident he's sussed out the best team in the country and Celtic won't beat them again. I said last week on the podcast that I think that Philippe Clement has got Brendan Rodgers' number when it comes to the last two Old Firm games. Now, I know you lost the cup final, but you deserved to win it, I thought, on the day. And then you battered them at Ibrox. And I thought you'd been outstanding in the last two games.
Yep.
And unless Brendan Rodgers changes his philosophy and tactics, Clement's just going to do the exact same thing that he did in the previous two games. That's why I said he's got Rodgers' number, unless Rodgers changes it.
Mm-hmm. I think they absolutely have been the better side the last two games.
100%.
I wonder, controversially, is there a little bit of complacency coming at the Celtic squad because they've been so dominant for so long and they've absolutely battered us.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly we've got rid of a lot of that squad that were scarred by that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a bit of a new mentality, fresh blood, younger, hungrier. And when they went at Celtic never really get challenged in the league because they're so superior. So people just sit back.
So you think they were shocked?
I think a bit shocked. But I think you've got to give credit to Clement for that. I think it's bold to say he's got Rodgers' number, but I think...
If he goes to Parkhead at the next game and gets a draw...
Yeah, because, I mean, Celtic are fully expected to win. Also, to make up for the 3-0 drop. And whenever the Old Firm lose.
Yeah.
The next game. The next one's about, well, we've got to make up for that.
Yeah.
And we were massively depleted. You know, we were expected to get absolutely battered in that game. And
surprised everybody, didn't
they? And I think there's potentially Celtic also believe that.
They've had so much
dominance gone. Look, they've got the keepers out, you know, the captains out, their defences. Is makeshift, so
red vans at right back and everything. Yeah.
So psychologically, they're going, well, we batter them when they're at full strength. We're going to batter them now, and then they got battered.
From Davey, Big Jim on form today, sitting on the train in bits. Where I just seen Channel 5's finest grassing in the young team. Maybe Channel 5's Ewan Cameron should get his own program. Train interceptors thoughts. I don't like the young team who dodge fares on a train or put their feet up on a train and all that. It just annoys me.
Aye.
So I keep getting reminded of being a Grinch and a grass and all that kind of thing. But hey, there you go, Davey. Thanks for that, mate. Now, stories from this week. Celtic dropped points at Dundee, meaning Rangers claw back 2 points with a win against Aberdeen. It was a comfortable win. It was 3 going on 8. The Celtic game at Dens Park was outstanding. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thought Dundee were superb, particularly in that second half, and a draw was probably a fair result. Rangers and Celtic's women's team look at joining the English leagues. That would be interesting. Rangers to scrap the B team. They say it's not working, there's no use for it. Michael Tidzler has finally become Dunfermline manager, with Charlie Mulgrew being appointed at Kelty. And the sad news from the week that's just passed, Dennis Law passing away. Absolute legend of a player, an iconic player, but before my time, before your time as well, Jordan. But what a player.
He's one of these names.
Ballon d'Or winner.
Synonymous, yeah. Like, huge. Obviously, I first came to be aware of who he was through Only an Excuse. You know, he was made really, really famous through that. And then you realise he was clearly a legend, you know, well before my time. But I think everybody speaks so highly about him, about how good he was.
Great player. And you look at that lineup of Bobby Charlton, Georgie Best, and then Dennis Law.
Yeah.
And all three of them are Ballon d'Or winners as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. The sad passing of Dennis Law in the week that has just passed. You are listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Ewan Cameron. Alongside me is the one and only Jordan Young, celebrity superstar, sleek, chiselled, looking so hot in his new baseball cap that he got for his birthday.
It's nice, eh?
It's lovely, mate.
Thanks,
pal. Let's go through the weekend's football. Right, you ready for this? Let's start with Rangers. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Rangers. Comfortable win, an expected win. Did you see the Dessers first miss? The miss? Nil-nil.
I missed the game yesterday because I was at the theatre.
Watching
something.
Watched
the highlights, and it didn't show the miss, because on my Rangers WhatsApp chat, all the boys were talking about how horrendous a miss, but it's not on the highlights, on the YouTube highlights I watched.
Well, maybe they did that to save his embarrassment.
Is it that bad?
It's one of the worst misses in the history of football.
Wow.
It's that bad a miss.
Wow.
But he just scored a hat-trick.
He's an enigma, isn't he?
He is.
An absolute enigma.
Do you like him?
I do like him. I love that he never hides. I love that he's kind of, he looks like he enjoys his football. His numbers are really good, but, and here's the big but, I don't think he's the answer going forward for Rangers to win anything. He can't be your number nine. I think you need a better number nine.
Eggman is your number nine just now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Is Danilo second in that?
Danilo.
So is it Eggman, Danilo, then Dessers?
I think so, but Danilo, you can't really rely on him. He's injured so often, but he's never had such a consistent run the team, so we don't know how good he is, how good he can be. You know, he shows flashes of it. He looks like he can be a good player, but until you get a run of 3-4 months at a player and see how consistent they can be, you can't throw all your eggs in that basket. Dessers, he sometimes scores amazing goals, but...
I thought he's good in Europe. He holds the ball up well.
Yeah, yeah. He's.
I thought he took his goal well against Aberdeen.
Aye, a great goal. You know, because he's not got a huge amount of pace, and he's 1-on-1, and as soon as
he makes that space left foot.
I thought he was going to
put it wide,
mess it up.
Aye.
But I thought it was a great finish.
Yeah,
you know, you can't argue with him. He never hides. And last season, when he was the only option, and he's carrying all the brunt of that, and. It's difficult.
It is, but it was a comfortable win.
Yeah.
And we're always expecting a win as well. Yeah. So Rangers winning by 4-0. In the other games, Friday night, Hearts beat Brechin by 4-0. So there was a wee fright there for Hearts, because Brechin take the lead just before half-time. But we go on to win it comfortably by 4-1. Oh, I've got a new Hearts song.
Oh.
There was Jambo's Kickback. So we got a new striker for Belgium called Kabunga, right? And do you know the song by the Beatles? She loves you, yeah. She loves you, yeah. So the Hearts Forum, Jambo's Kickback, have created a song. I'm going to sing it to you. Right, you ready for this?
Can't wait.
Can I sing it, John? They're not getting any copyright on this, is there?
Nah, you'll be all right.
Will I be all right with this? Because I was a wee bit worried there might be copyright issues with it. Oh, no, have I deleted the song? I might have deleted the song, mate. I've deleted it. It just went, Kabunga, yeah. Kabunga, yeah. With goals like that, we know you're good for Hearts. We know you hate the Hebs. Can't remember the line, but quite good, isn't
it?
He's a good player.
He's a player. Right, okay.
He scored two on Friday night against Brechin. So he's looking like a player. We've got him on loan until the end of the season, and we've got an option to keep him after the summer. Celtic 2.
Hold on a minute. You're jumping over that game. Let's talk about the Brechin goal. Scott Bright's goal for Brechin was
Nobody cares.
He just got, and the bit I found really funny, he just come on for the boy Spark, so it was Bright Spark, and no one made reference to that, which I was very disappointed about.
Nobody cares you got beat 4-1.
Mate, that was one of the best. That goal will not be beaten in the Scottish Cup.
I think goal of the competition, I think, eh?
Yeah. Jan Danders was good, but that
it was.
You're right.
It would be unfair of us not to highlight that goal. Yeah. It was an absolute stunner of a goal.
Yeah, he hit it so sweet.
He's never going to hit another shot like that in his life.
No.
And to be a keeper of Craig Gordon's calibre from 30 yards with that strike is unbelievable.
And
so,
at that point in the game, to go, they're 1-0 up against Premiership opposition. Oh. So at home, so that's, what a thrill
the
for
the celebration
guy.
Was brilliant, wasn't it? So yeah, no, well played, John. I forgot all about that. Thanks for reminding me. So well done to the young lad for what was probably going to be the goal of not just that round, but probably of the entire Scottish Cup for this season. So well done to him. So that was Hearts 4-1 winners at Breakin. Celtic 2, Kilmarnock 1. Now, controversy surrounding this victory. The Maeda second goal. There is a long ball played out by Kilmarnock. There is a tussle between Trusty and who was the Kilmarnock striker? Watkins. There was a tussle. And on first viewing, I thought the free kick should have gone to Kilmarnock. They give the free kick to Celtic. Celtic take the free kick quickly. And 20 seconds later, Kilmarnock scored a second goal in the 70th minute to win the tie by 2-1. So there's a lot of controversy surrounding that. Did you see it, Sweaty Octopus?
I did not. Just saw the highlights.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm just shocked that something went for Celtic. I'm just quite surprised, Ewan, did that happen? I thought, wait a minute, hold the bus. I thought there was a conspiracy. Wait, that doesn't add up. Anyway, sorry, carry on. That's weird. I thought they never got any decisions.
Hibs 3, Clydebank 0. Martin Boyle is on form. The boy is on fire, scoring goals for fun. He is. He got a couple of goals, so a comfortable win for Hibs in the end. But listen, fair play to Clydebank. 2,500 fans through Easter Road.
Was that really?
2,500 fans through Easter Road. I met quite a few of the fans on the train. Well, not in the train, but in the train station at Waverley, all heading to Easter Road. So well done to Clydebank and their fans, making it a day to remember despite defeat. But they'd have gone there expecting defeat, but I thought they acquitted themselves really well. Other games in the Scottish Cup. Do we have to go through every game, mate? There's loads of games here. Do we have to go through them all, Producer John?
Sorry, I got my phone.
probably the wee surprise for me was St Johnstone beating Motherwell.
Yeah.
St Johnstone being absolute shite.
Yeah, they look like dog meat, don't they?
They've gone through by beating Motherwell by a goal to nil, but then Kettlewell said in his media conference, we didn't deserve anything at the game, so St Johnstone deserved it. Probably the shock of the round was Championship Livingston knocking out Ross County. Now, Ross County's home form is generally pretty good, but they've gone out in extra time by 3-2. Livingston beating Ross County, shock of the round, but also, are you surprised?
It's not a huge shock, is it? It's not like massive.
Because Livingston were just down from their Premiership from last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was interesting. St Mirren beating Queen of South 3-1. I thought there might have been a shock there, but no shocks. Hamilton 3, Musselburgh 1. I fancied Musselburgh to do something there, but Hamilton in the end came through. The big one for me where we thought there might be the big shock because of Aberdeen's recent run of no wins in 12 was Aberdeen going to second-placed Elgin. And Aberdeen won by 3-0. But there is controversy surrounding the second goal because there would appear to be evidence that the ball did not cross the line. The second goal is always going to be the pivotal goal, right? If Aberdeen get it, game over.
Aye, aye.
But as long as it stays 1-0, you're in with a chance of winning it. And the shot from Duke clearly doesn't cross the line.
Right.
VAR was in place, it would have still been 1-0, and who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
But as soon as that goal's given, Elgin were done and dusted. But Aberdeen are through with a 3-0 victory. Broxburn versus Ayr, Scotty Brown's team winning by 8-0. Not a good day at the office for Broxburn. Dunfermline Stevens team winning by 3-0. Queen's Park through after beating Montrose. Dumbarton losing to Airdrie by 5-1. We've touched on Rangers. And then the final game. from the weekend, although there is a game tonight, the Dundee Derby, but the final game of the weekend for us was at the Falkirk Stadium. What happened there, Jordan?
I don't know. I refrain from comment. I'm on my dad's family, Falkirk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a Fifer, so.
Aye, Producer John being a Falkirk fan and all that, yeah.
We don't need to talk about that game.
I mean, it's your show, you're producing it, and so it's not my place to say, but we've spoken about every other game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Would it be remiss of us to not talk about that game?
I think it would be remiss of us not to talk
about it. It's not my place to say, so.
But you know, there's a rivalry there. Mm-hmm. They're both in the same league. They don't like each other. Mm-hmm. It was probably the next best game after the Dundee Derby.
Yeah, it's a biggie.
And Falkirk lost by 2-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
It was a bad day at the office for the Bairns.
Thankfully we Falkirk get beat. We don't get a happy dance from John today.
You won't get a happy dance. No. But can I just take this point to say, Dylan Easton, what a fantastic footballer, really good footballer, but has to be one of the biggest fannies in Scottish football. So I'd just like to take that point just to say, he was in the goalkeeper's face, he's given it all that. Honestly, he's a great footballer, but what a fanny.
What? I mean, one of the biggest fannies in Scottish football. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot, you know.
There's
so,
a few around.
You're sitting beside one of them as well, Jordan.
So, where did it go wrong for Falkirk yesterday? Why you the cup?
First half performance was one of the worst I've seen from a Falkirk side in about a year and a half.
Right. Does that worry you going forward with the league campaign?
No. Hopefully, if we get back to the form. We're having a sticky patch. Every team has a sticky patch in the season. You know, we've dropped points at Dunfermline, when we dropped points against Queen's Park, and now we're out the cup. But, you know, three massive games coming ahead. We've got Raith Rovers again at the weekend at Starks Park, and then we've got Ayr and Livingston at home. So that's huge for Falkirk in the promotion chase and the title chase.
Okay. And still to come, the Dundee Derby tonight before the fifth round draw, which will happen after that game. Dundee or Dundee United, who's booking their place for the fifth round?
Really, really hard to call, isn't it?
Both are
really
in good form.
I think Dundee with our recent results against Rangers and Celtic.
You going to be Dundee? You going to be Dundee? Is that what you're saying? Say it, Jordan. Say it. Say it.
Jim Goodwin lives quite near me. Don't know him, but I just sort of dropped that in. Dundee.
Do you live in a celebrity street?
Nah.
But you live near Jim Goodwin? What other celebrities are near you? Who could you like hop, skip and a jump to?
Charlie Mulgrew lives near me.
He's a new Kelty manager.
My next door neighbour is the Celtic player liaison manager. I know that's not a celeb, but I know when Celtic are getting a new signing because he brings a Vito home.
He brings a what?
A Vito, you know, Mercedes Vito, like the people carrier. So he'll go and collect folk from
God, yeah.
So whenever I see that Vito turning up in the street, my heart sinks. Like, oh no, they've just spent another £1 billion on somebody. Magic.
So you'll probably get the scoop before anybody else that somebody's come in.
Although he'll chat away, but he would never give you information that, you know.
Aye.
Because I couldn't be trusted.
No, but the card gives it away for you.
Yeah,
that somebody's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody's turning up at an airport and he's going to go and pick them up.
And a lot of the neighbours are Celtic fans, so they've got giddy with excitement. And a couple of sort of Rangers fans are right miserable sitting there.
So you're going for Dundee tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Producer John, sweaty octopus, lazy bastard, what do you think?
Dundee United.
Oh, you're going Dundee United?
Yeah.
Where's the game being played again? Dens?
Yep.
I'm with Jordan. I'm going to go with a Dundee win tonight. What about some of the games this week? Some big games as well. Let's talk about Europe. Celtic against Young Boys. I fully expect Celtic to obliterate Young Boys and confirm their place in the playoffs before they head to Aston Villa for the final game in the groups. More importantly for you, Jordan, mm-hmm. the game you're watching and going to be interested in is Manchester United versus Rangers at Old Trafford. Good result against Spurs at Ibrox. Yep. I thought you deserved to win that game, actually. Yeah. Finish 1-1. You're going to Man United. Amorim has just described Manchester United as the worst team in the history of Manchester United. They got humped 3-1 at the weekend by Brighton. Are Rangers going to go down there just to make up the numbers, or do you think they get a result?
Rangers in Europe.
Very good.
I've been very good. And I think,
well, both Celtic and Rangers have been good.
Yeah. I think Clement needs should get a lot of praise for that. It's still Man United at Old Trafford, and they've still got, you know, £80 million, £100 million players. But obviously confidence is a bit Lo, your manager comes out. Does that rile you up? Does that fire you up, saying you're part of the worst team
ever
in the history of Man U? Does that mean you've got to prove him wrong, or do you just sit there going, no, you've actually got a point, Gaffer?
F you.
I think our injuries, I think defensively, that's a worry. I think we can give them a game, but still.
Will you get a game? Will you get a result?
I can't see us winning. I could see maybe a draw at a push.
I mean, listen, you're going to be in the playoffs minimum, but if you're to get some sort of result on Thursday, you've got a chance of finishing the top eight.
Yeah.
You've got a huge chance of finishing the top eight, and what an achievement that would be.
Huge, absolutely.
If you can take it down to the last game to get yourself into the top eight, because I fully expected Celtic to get into the top eight, but their last two results, the draws, killed them. Killed them. Games I thought they were going to take maximum points from, but that just killed their chance of getting into the top eight, whereas you're in a really good chance to do it.
I think so. I watched Man U Southampton the other night, and Southampton, credit to them, I thought they were brilliant.
Oh, they were lucky not to get a result.
The better side, but then...
Ahmed turns up.
Maiden Rangers, remember his real loan spell when his first touches of the ball for Rangers scoring against Ross County. Then they got beat anyway. But he looks like a player,
doesn't he?
But you hope, because his affection for Rangers, will he no try against us? You know, on mate.
Take a day off.
Aye. Remember that time you lost us the league? Uh-huh.
So big games for Celtic and Rangers in Europe this week, and we'll talk about it next week on the podcast. You are listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
You're meant to be singing along there, mate.
Oh, no, I apologise. No.
But you also meant to do that.
Oh.
You do it. Remember to get us on at Big Football Scott on Twitter, Facebook and Insta. Remember, you can see our mugs as well as listen on the Super Scoreboard YouTube channel. Yes, just go to the Super Scoreboard YouTube channel and you will see where we are. Just search Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube, and we are on across Scotland throughout Christmas. Is this an old script, you lazy bastard?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
See? Part of something that's just cut and paste.
Cut and paste,
I thought this was original content.
Exactly, yeah. He thought we were on the ball here, you lazy bastard.
I was almost on the ball.
What do you mean Elvis has died? What? What?
Lazy bastard.
Oh, honestly. His team loses in the cup and suddenly it all goes to shit.
We're here throughout Christmas with the Big Scottish Football Show on 4th 1. Mate! Come on, you're better than that.
I know, sorry, I missed that out.
But so it's true, sweaty octopus, lazy bastard. Yeah. Shite bag, Producer John. Okay, let's do this. Winner takes all. I love this, Producer John. This is the best thing you've come up with.
Thanks.
The winner takes it all.
Okay, winner takes it all.
Beside the victory. That's your destiny.
Okay, here we go. It is the winner takes it all. John, you're in charge of this. Take it away, my friend.
Right, okay, Jordan. This is new to the show.
Right.
You might not have heard it before. We've got 6 footballers in front of me, right? Uh-huh. And you've just got to decide who's better out the 2 options, right? And then if you both end up, you and Ewan, both end up in the same footballer,
5 points.
5 points.
Right.
I'll put you in the cone of silence while the other person decides, and then we'll bring you back in, and then we put them in the cone of silence and you have your turn, all right?
Right, okay.
So
I'm going to go first. You're going to be listening to Greatest Hits Radio.
Right. Yep.
You're going to be listening to some music while I decide who I think is the better player out of the 6 he's going to give to
me. Let me just test out if I can put Jordan right. So you should hear something else in a minute, Jordan. Here we go.
Put thumbs up when you hear it, Jordan.
Did you hear something else there,
I
Jordan?
Did, some right. disco.
There yeah, disco, go. Fantastic. Right, let's do this.
Right, brilliant. So since Jordan is on the show, and obviously he's a good-looking lad, he is, Jordan.
Uh-huh.
I thought What better than two heterosexual men to decide who's the best looking footballers out of the six that I'm about to give you?
Ali McCoist. No.
He's not on the list. He's not Right, okay. Right, so we're going to put Jordan into the cone of silence, i.e. give him Greatest Hits Radio. So there we go. Jordan's away. You can say whatever you like.
Got you. He's nodding away there to the music. Okay. So he's in the cone of silence.
He's in the cone of silence. Right, Ewan. Okay, it's just me and you talking. Now.
Okay, so it's the best looking player.
In your opinion, who the best looking player is?
Okay,
right?
Let's start this.
Right, okay, let's go. And your first player is Jamie Redknapp. But is Jamie Redknapp better looking than David Beckham?
This is my opinion, not what my wife would think.
Well,
it.
You can use whatever basis you want, Ewan. You can use your own opinion. You can use what you're thinking.
I think we should go with our own opinions. Actually, not. Because I know who my wife likes,
right. But that, Redknapp or Beckham?
I'm going to go Beckham.
Beckham, right? Yeah. But is Beckham better looking than Thierry Henry? He's a good looking fella, Thierry.
He is, and the accent as well.
Yeah.
Henry.
Oh, yeah. Right. Henry better looking than Andrea Pirlo.
Yeah, Henry.
Henry stays on.
Yeah.
Next one. It's France against France. Olivier Giroud, what a dreamboat.
His hair is magnificent.
He's a big, handsome fella.
And he's got some thighs on him.
Aye, big tall as well.
Yeah. Henri or Giroud? I'm going to go with Giroud.
You're going to go with Giroud? Okay. The final is Olivier Giroud or Cristiano Ronaldo?
Giroud.
Depends what you like in a man, you know.
Giroud.
You like the manly.
I think Giroud, like me, likes to moisturise.
You seen Ronaldo?
Nah, I'm going for Giroud. He's well groomed.
Giroud stays on. Right, yeah. Let's bring back Jordan. Here we go.
This is tough.
Ooh.
This is tough, mate.
Right, okay.
This is really tough.
Right, Ewan, we're going to put you in the code of silence now.
Right.
Okay, Ewan is now in the cone of silence, Jordan. It means, basically, you can say whatever you want about him and he won't hear you.
Right.
So if you want to say anything about Ewan, now is the time.
I think he's a lovely human being and I've always enjoyed his company.
Right then, there very you go. Good, Jordan. Right. You're really working hard for this payment today, aren't you? Right, okay. Right, okay, Jordan. So it's the best looking football. Now, Ewan, you can decide what criteria you go on. It
right.
could be your own or it could be your wife's criteria.
Right,
you can
okay.
decide what you want. Okay, right, so here we go. So your first footballer is Jamie Redknapp, but is Jamie Redknapp better looking than David Beckham? Who stays on there?
Beckham,
right. Is Beckham better looking than Thierry Henry?
Oh.
But je ne sais quoi.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to stick with Beckham.
Beckham stays on. Is Beckham better looking than Andrea Pirlo, the Italian midfield genius?
Yes.
Beckham
yes. Pirlo's got good hair, but I'd say Beckham,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aye.
Olivier Giroud, dreamboat, big tall lad, strapping,
who's
man's
got,
man.
Again, fantastic hair that never ever goes out of shape, 90 minutes of football and it's
Beckham
still...
Giroud
has got... I'm going to stick with Beckham.
Beckham stays on. And finally... Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, it's got to be Ronaldo, isn't it?
Ronaldo?
I think it's got to be Ronaldo. Although I think Ewan would have went with Beckham if Beckham made it that far.
5 points if you're matching the same answer.
I'm going to Ronaldo.
Ronaldo is the final answer, right? Let's bring Ewan back in.
I'm back in. I'm curious to know where
right.
he ends up.
Okay, we're going to go through it, boys.
Serial
okay.
Desser's got nice eyes, though, hasn't he?
He does have piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, he
right.
does.
So I'll give you the. We'll go through it.
And then we'll just
shout
what you've done.
Time,
okay.
Shout at the same time.
Okay.
Who you said, right? Okay. So we started off with Jamie Redknapp or David Beckham. 1, 2, 3.
Beckham.
Oh. There you go.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Then it was Beckham against Henri.
Henri.
Beckham.
Oh, did you go with Beckham? Did you?
I am sorry.
You like them rough and ready, don't you?
Aye.
So Jordan went for Beckham, you went for Henri.
Next one.
It was your player versus Andrea Pirlo. 1, 2, 3.
Henri. This is where we've went wrong. Is that one
this
so far?
Where it's all went.
Yeah,
up.
Go on.
Right, next player was Olivia Giroud. 1, 2, 3.
I went with Beckham. Giroud. You went, fuck. I went with Giroud.
Why did you go for Giroud? You know what?
Oh, he's a good looking lad. He is, he's well
he
is. Kept.
His hair's magnificent.
As I said, that was all I said. That was all I used. His hair's magnificent and he looks so shiny.
He's strapping, isn't he?
He's a good looking boy. So, yeah, I went for Giroud. So, you stuck with Beckham there?
I think I was probably seduced by Beckham's sort of global sex appeal and maybe should have looked more as the individual. He's had a wee bit of work done now, which I think ruined him, if I'm honest.
What about the tattoos? Is that a thing for you? Quite like the tattoos?
I've not got any personally, but
he looks good in them,
I think he suits it. Yeah.
So he's with Beckham, with Giroud. What was the next one?
It was Cristiano Ronaldo. So 1, 2, 3.
Ronaldo. Come on.
No, I went with Giroud.
Oh.
For me, Giroud's the best at that lot. You went Ronaldo?
Aye.
I think he looks like a Rottweiler eating a bee. Honestly, I think that Ronaldo looks like a Rottweiler eating a bee.
He's too smooth, isn't he? He's shiny.
I don't even think he's that good looking a boy. I tell you what, he's got a fantastic body.
Yeah.
He looks after himself.
I
don't think facially he gets anywhere near Giroud. Henri, Beckham. Pirlo, yeah, I'd probably say better than Pirlo, but the others, nah.
Nah, right.
There you go.
We should maybe throw this out to the listeners. Maybe there are gay men, there's maybe some females that have an opinion on this, because the two of you, I don't know, are the best qualified in this area.
Well, hold on a second.
I think heterosexual, but you can appreciate a handsome person.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I've said already at the start of the podcast, I think John's a really good-looking lad.
That's why we did the round.
Yeah, and...
Thank you, James.
Chiseled and sharp-looking. But I know that there'll be people watching this podcast that prefer me over him.
Fact. Fact.
Because they want a bit of rough.
Right. Anyway, let us know in the comments on YouTube who you would have went for out of that lot. Anyway, right, you ready for the quiz, Ewan?
Right, Ewan, sorry, can I just interrupt? Me or Ronaldo?
You.
Thanks, mate.
There you go.
Yes.
That's every
beautiful.
Time, mate.
Beautiful.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
So there's no mass footballer today, but that will return when Stephen is back next week. But instead, we're going to focus on Rangers and find out what is going on at Ibrox. Now, as you know, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, that we've been speaking to fans of football clubs across the country throughout the season about the good, the bad and the ugly of their club. And we are delighted to have on the show with us today from the Heart and Hand podcast, it is David Edgar. How are you doing, David?
I'm good, mate. How's you? Nice to talk to you again. It's been a while.
I think we've kind of like spoke now and again online.
Yeah.
But the last time I sat and spoke to you was probably, 2005, 2006, when I was doing the Real Radio Football phone-in?
This is the Real Football phone-in. With Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now.
That brings back memories. That was the main thing. It went on for a few years after that. I think it was about 2010, really, when I sort of wrapped it anyway, and then you were away doing different things and whatnot. But it's nice. I'm sure there's a nostalgia hit for people when they hear the two voices.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, let me just give you a wee backstory. So I was working on the Real Radio Football phone with Alan Ruff, and you just heard the jingle there. It's brought back some memories for David and others. We needed to do something different. And the way that I approached the football phone was that I wanted to be the football phone where if you went into the pub and you're sat with your mates, you'd have a conversation, but it could go on a tangent here, there and everywhere. We want to be about the fans, give the fans their voice and make it about them. And when I went onto the Follow website and the message boards, I saw this thing about the Rangers Supporters Trust. And the Rangers Supporters Trust at that time were not fans of David Murray. And I think that might be an understatement. You were not fans of David Murray. You were piling pressure on him. And as you said, you didn't really have a voice at that time to express your concerns about the running of the club by David Murray. And then I contacted somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they said to me, you need to speak to David Edgar. I got your number and I phoned you, and I'll never forget this. Because that moment when I spoke to you, I had producer Victoria next to me, who's now my boss where I am today. Victoria's next to me, and I was on the phone to her. And within the first 5 minutes of that phone call, I was like holding the voice bit on the phone on the what do you call that? What do you call it? The old style phone? Fucking I can't remember that. You know,
Nokia.
Whatever it was. And I said to Victor, I went, we need to get him on the football phone. Then he's fucking superb. We need to get him on. So that was it. And then spoke to you and I went, do you want to come in and have a wee chat with us about the Rangers Supporters Trust and why you don't like David Murray? Why you're concerned about the way that he runs the club? And the reason that we jumped on that bandwagon and got you onto the show, because if I'm going to be honest with you, David, I was hoping to stir the hornet's nest that David Murray would then get in contact with us because he wasn't happy at what you were saying or what the trust were saying and that we were giving you a voice. So we bring you on the show and my God, did it blow up or did it blow up? Because what I didn't know at the time, David, because obviously I'm not a Rangers fan, but when you were coming on and saying the things that you were saying about Rangers and how it was being run by David Murray, you had a lot of opposition, mate, didn't you? I mean, we were getting phone calls left, right and centre, screaming at you, shouting at you. The Rangers fans were very much split at that time. Do you remember how controversial that was?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is the thing about when you're doing it. And this is why, you know, when fans are protesting now, they sometimes wonder why I can be a wee bit more cautious. And it's partially just from the lessons I learned back then. When you put yourself up for it, and listen, don't get me wrong, I was a cocky little arsehole back then, you know. I was in my 20s, I was full of, you know, drinking other things, and I thought I knew everything.
David, can I just say that's a bit of an understatement? You're more than a cocky little arsehole. You were, you were full of yourself, mate, and you thought you had the answers to everything, but you were brilliant for the football phone, and you were brilliant at getting your message across and putting the pressure on the people above in the Rangers boardroom.
Yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Well, one of the things looking back that I realise now is that We have this tendency, I think, as humans, just in general, to break things down morally all the time. And my view on it was, and you see this a lot in modern society as well, even with like politics as well as football and anything really that people get passionate about, is that people say, this is what I believe and it is good. Therefore, I am good. And therefore, anyone who's a different opinion to me is bad.
Right.
And you break it down that way. Whereas realistically, what you should go is, this is what I think. However, they might have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. And I need to listen to that. And my mistake was, when I went out there, and I was, as you say, I was absolutely full of, I knew I was right, and I think history showed that I was right.
Yeah.
But see, when you're protesting against something, you need people to come along with you. And I didn't do that. My view was that if people listened to me and then came along, and lots did, but the ones who didn't, rather than me going back and say, right, what is it that you're unsure about? What is it that I need to do to convince you? What is it that you feel? I didn't do that. I just went, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot. And people, funnily enough, don't respond well to being told that they're idiots and assholes.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring them along to your cause. So I think I was good at, you know, starting a fire and getting people to go, there's a fire. But what I should have been then doing was the next stage, which was persuading people to come along with me. If you show people that you're right and that maybe they're wrong, they will come along with you. If you tell people and shout at them and tell them they're stupid for not agreeing with you, then they won't. And I think that was my kind of big mistake back then.
Yeah, and you regret that now, David. Do you regret that looking back now that you did it wrong and... But do you regret what you said?
No, I mean, I did the best with what I had. I don't, not to get too philosophical, I don't do regrets because I can't change anything.
Yeah, okay.
What I do is try to learn from things.
And you learn from that.
And learn from that and looking back. And, you know, I had a fairly chaotic lifestyle. I was out, you know, 5-6 nights a week. I was, you know, I hate. And eventually I got sober. And you start to look then at, right, could I have done things differently and whatnot? And the other thing as well is that as you get older, and I'm sure this is true for most people, is you realise that you maybe don't have all the answers. You maybe don't know everything, and that maybe other people have something valuable to contribute. But it's half and half, really. When you're when you're, you know, 21, 22, you think you can take on the world. And sometimes you're right, but the cost of it was massive. If you're, you know, if you're fighting with somebody as powerful as David Murray and you're not powerful, yeah, then you're going to get your arse kicked. And I mean, by the end of it, I'd been put through the ringer a few times. But no, I don't really regret it because that was who I was. That was what I did. Did it work? No. You know, looking back at people, and I understand why. Here was one wee guy that they'd never heard of who was very brash and cocky and, you know, almost deliberately so. And he was telling you there's some really bad news. And by the way, I don't have any good news. And then you've got the legendary chairman and owner of Rangers who they've known for years, who they've seen through all the good times. And he's saying, shush, don't worry about that. He's totally wrong. Ignore him. Trust me. What he's selling and what I'm selling,
yeah,
one's very attractive and one isn't. So I can understand people
And you're being, they were saying you're talking bullshit, you're talking shite, you were this, you were that, you were this, you were that. Because I remember the phone calls we used to get and it'd be the older supporters coming on. He gave us 9 in a row. How dare you come on this radio show and embarrass
that was the attitude.
Embarrass the club, embarrass our chairman. He's done this for us. He's done that for us. He gave us Gaza. He gave us Loudrop and blah, 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 blah. And that's what you faced on a daily basis. And I know that there's a lot within the Ranger support who hated you for that because they felt as though you were being negative with no foundation for being negative on a national national football show. Yeah, and they thought
for attention.
They thought you were attention seeking. It turns out that everything that you were worried about actually ended up happening.
Yeah, I remember specifically one night we were on 2009, I think it was, and I was saying, "Look, this could end up, you know, really bad." I remember saying Leeds United.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we could end up the way Leeds United are.
Yeah.
And the phone's just lit. I remember looking at the console in the background and remember the way the studio was in Real Radio at the time. You could see, and I was like, is that? And you're like,
yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. There wasn't one positive call. You got absolutely drilled that night for 2 hours.
Slaughtered, just destroyed. And that's the thing, though, that people said when everything went down, they were like, well, I suppose, you know, you're happy now. And you're like, no, I'm devastated.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, it's my club and I love it. And two, this was what I spent 6 years trying to stop and failed completely. So on top of the thing is for people that when it happened, it was a bit of a shock to them. Imagine I'd lived with it for years because I knew it was in the pipeline. And yeah, look, this is the thing. When people talk about protests at football clubs, and we've seen them now, and I'll get that sometimes now, people say, why aren't you leading protests? Well, first of all, a misunderstanding that people have about fan media, I am not a supporters group.
No.
You know, to be a supporters group, you need a mandate. That means that people have agreed that you speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has agreed that I speak for them. And even if they say, I want you to, I'm not, I don't want to, right?
Yeah.
I speak for me and me only now. I make podcasts and videos, and if people want to listen to them, I hope they enjoy them. If they don't, that's cool. But that's, you know, I'm not going to go and do this sort of stuff now because, one, I've tried it and I failed at it, so I'm not very good at it. So you need somebody who's better than me. But two, the other thing that it taught me, Ewan, was that if you want to remove a manager, you can protest and you can achieve that. If you want to remove an executive at a club, you can do that as well. You can protest and you can probably get them to do that. If you want to remove an owner, you need money.
Yeah.
And that was the hard lesson. And people don't like hearing that because what you're telling, again, bad news, you're telling them that they are powerless in a situation where they don't want to be powerless. But the fact of the matter is, see if protests could remove owners. Manchester United wouldn't be owned by the Glazers. Liverpool wouldn't be owned by FSG. What you need is money. And people say, but you can make them want to sell. And what do the people buying it need? Money. Money moves money. And even with Rangers, yes, we helped as a support to get Ashley gone, but it was Dave King and the Three Bears buying it that made the difference.
The reason that I wanted to do a bit of background on our relationship and what you did in the noughties were for people who might not be aware of what you did and how you rocked the boat, etc., etc., because I wanted to do the background before going into where Rangers are today and what's happening at the club right now. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about what's going on right now. And from you being on the inside as well, because you've got all the media conferences, you're there with Clermont, you're away at the games, you're at home, you're in Europe. So you've got a first-hand experience of being within the club with the manager, etc. So I'm going to ask you point blank, do you fear that Rangers could go the way of 2012 under Murray, or do you think that'll never happen again?
No, I don't think, well, you can never say never, but I don't think it's anywhere close to a minute. And that's another reason when people are talking about the current board, I don't think that they're evil. Okay. You know, I don't think that they're an Ashley or a, but that doesn't mean they're good at running a football club. So in terms of the football operation.
Right, so you don't think they're good enough to do the job that they're being asked to do?
No, I think, yeah, well, I mean, evidence suggests they are not good at building a winning football club.
Right.
But I don't think it's arguable, really. And, you know, there is a slight difference in that they are well-intentioned and they put a lot of their money into the club, but I'm well-intentioned. It doesn't mean I could run a football club, you know? So I think that this is something that we've been banging on about for a while as a supporters. I mean, if you look at John Bennett's 2 years as chairman, it was a disaster. I mean, it wasn't that it was, you know, not as successful as we would like. It was a disaster. And therefore, they've brought in, you know, Fraser Thornton and Patrick Stewart. And I think, like all Rangers fans, I'm like, step back and let them run it, because you are not good at running a football club.
So, well, can I ask...
I don't think they're running it into the ground or over a cliff or anything like that. I think they're moving it towards being a self-sustainable club. But that should be their limit. You know, keep an eye on the finances, but let the running of the football club be done by professionals.
So do you support Patrick Stewart? Do you think he's the right man to lead from the front?
I don't know. He's got the experience,
you
know, at a big football club. So unfortunately, there's no way to predict the future. What we need to see is, you know, stability, recovery. You need to remember at Rangers, Ewan, that there was no structure at all when Patrick Stewart came in. It had all left. He's having to build it from the ground up. And internally, I mean, you know, like the infrastructure. And clubs who don't have that rarely succeed. So he's got a big, big job in his hand. The other side of it is, though, if you want to look at it in a positive way, is that he's coming into it and he can put his own stamp on it. And he can do things the way he wants it done, and he can create a culture. But I think it's telling that, you know, the first thing he's done is he brought in a new head of commercial. He's bringing in a new head of communications. You know, he's putting in people at senior management level, because Rangers haven't had that. But yeah, I think that we have a well-meaning board, but you can be well-meaning and not very good. And I think the evidence since, you know, since 2022, since getting to Seville, the evidence is you are not good at running a football club that regularly wins trophies, because Rangers haven't. That's a good thing about football. The pitch doesn't lie.
No.
At the end of the season, where you are.
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because I want to talk about the Union Bears and that protest in just a second. But first, let's talk about the manager, Clermont. Now, Patrick Stewart's coming, as you said. He's coming to a mess, and he's basically got to build it from the ground up. He's got to bring in his own people. And by bringing in his own people, he's going to get people that he can trust, that he knows can take the club forward. So in that sense, you're probably in a better position now than you probably were, because he's got experience of running a football club. So my point about Jeremy Clermont? Why do I keep saying Jeremy Clermont?
But you're back to 2005, that's why.
I know.
That's when Rangers bought him.
Aye. I always keep forgetting his first name. That's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Philippe
Clermont. So, yeah, let's get back to Philippe Clermont. Is it a possibility, David, that when you look at his record right now, he's only drawn one game at home and he's won all the rest? We all know about the away record. The last two games against Celtic, where I thought you deserved to win the League Cup, and then you hammer Celtic 3-0 at Ibrox. Mm-hmm. You're having a really good European campaign again. You're going to be in the playoffs minimum for Europe. Yes, it's not been great away from home, but signs would suggest that there's a making of a half-decent team there. And is Patrick Stewart seeing the bigger picture here, unlike the Rangers fans, when it comes to Philippe Clement?
You can make a case for it. You just did. And
but I'm asking you, do you see that or
reasonable.
Not?
I haven't seen anything, to be honest, to suggest that he's going to win a title for Rangers, and that's the key thing for me. What Philippe Clement has is, he's had a shit hand dealt to him. Let's not kid ourselves, right? I think we all understand that. But the away form is massive, because you can't win a title, you know, picking up under 50% of away points. It's just, it's not possible to do that. And it has been a while now. This is what, since March, we're coming up on a year that the away form has been pretty poor. Uh-huh. But you're absolutely right in saying that you can look at extenuating circumstances, and you can look at the summer he had and whatnot. And there are people, there are supporters who are arguing exactly what you're arguing. Me personally, I look at it and I think, do I believe in my heart of hearts that he's going to win Rangers a title? And the answer is no, deep down I don't. But does that mean that, you know, there is no chance of it happening and that I'm totally right? No, it doesn't. Because
would you have got shot of him?
I personally would have got shot of him after Dundee United. And then,
what, the 1-1 game at Ibrox?
Yeah, yeah. And you could argue that that would have been premature. But that night, I was just like, we're sick of this and we're fed up with it. And then there was a bit of a turnaround. Yeah. And that's the thing with it. You never know if you're coming or going this season, because, you know, we beat Celtic and you think, right, you know, here we go. And then immediately go out and the away form is poor and continues. And it's like,
you lose, you know, to St Mirren.
You draw at Hibs, draw at Dundee. And it's like, every time we seem to take a step forward, we end up taking a step back. Somebody said this to me, and I think this is fair. Somebody said we should give him at the end of the season, because there's not really much point making a change right now, which is true. I think you're actually seeing it, Man United, with Amorim.
Yeah.
The problems when you bring somebody in halfway through a season, and we've already seen that with Beal and with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, because the issue is, in an ideal world, Ewan, we would get to the summer and go, complete reset, we absolutely forget everything that happened, it's a new day, it's a new dawn. But we both know if the manager's lost a couple of big games at the end of the previous season, even if it's not his fault, it's not his players, all that stuff, it does stick in your brain, doesn't it?
Totally.
And you go, yep. And that's what happened with Rangers this year. We went into the season on a low after the way that the league, you know, title challenge petered out and losing the cup final. So I think that in an ideal world, if you're bringing in a manager, you would do it in the summer anyway. So the argument that has been put forward to me by my listeners, and I must admit, I think that there's, you know, I can't argue against its logic, is, as you said, he's doing well in Europe. We're not going to win the league anyway. We're not going to finish third. We are going to finish second. That's, you know, I remember you actually saying that to Aberdeen fans at the start of the season. And it's true. We know how Scottish football works. So the idea is that you see if he turns it around, and if by the end of the season the away form's sorted, Rangers are flying, playing good football, winning games left, right and centre, pick up the Scottish Cup, then you revisit it. And if that's the case, Patrick Stewart will be proved right. But that's what he's paid for. Yeah, he needs to make his decisions and he needs to get it right. The problem that Rangers have is and the board have discovered that, is that they completely ran out of wriggle room because they got so many wrong.
Yeah.
That after a while, you don't have any chances left, and that's where they are.
So before I let you go, David, and I've got a quiz to do with Jordan Young, I'm going to ask you about the Union Bears. Their protest in walking out in the 55th minute a couple of weeks ago, did you support that or not?
I didn't agree with walking out as a tactic, simply because I didn't think it would have the effect. And by that, what I mean is that I wasn't, you know, thinking that that's not your first move. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You build up to that.
Got you. That's a final thing to do.
Not the final, but it's you part start of it. Off, but part of it, because then it's what I spoke about earlier. It's about building support. So if you look at it, when the Union Bears brought out banners and did certain chants, the crowd applauded. So the idea that the crowd don't agree with them isn't true. But then when they walked out, the majority of the crowd booed.
Correct.
So it's clearly not the message.
Yeah.
It's clearly the way they expressed it. So, what, you know, if it was me, and again, this is me after, you know, 20 years, I would have said, the first day you bring out banners and ask people to applaud it to show you back it.
Uh-huh.
Day two of it, if you're going to continue with it, you then say there's going to be a particular chant after a certain minute. Could you join in, you know, on the 10th, 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th, 60th minute?
Yeah.
And you build up, and then we're going to, you know, there's going to be a demonstration in the car park, then there's going to be a walkout, and you build up. And that way you bring people along. And I go back to, remember I said earlier about you tried to jump from A to Z?
Aye.
That's kind of what happened here. And I think that instead of people talking about the message, which most Rangers fans agree with, you've done a shit job running this club the last 3 years, that 99% of Rangers supporters, in my opinion, agree with that, the ones that talk to me anyway. Instead, everybody was talking about the walkout, and they're talking about the means rather than the end. And you need people talking about the end. What's the aim? What is the aim? That's what you want people to talk about. So, agree with the message. Didn't think that the way they did it was the most effective. But here's the thing. Do I back any supporter of any club who's unhappy for protesting peacefully? You're right, I do. Because fans are the lifeblood of this game. And if they're not happy and they're expressing that in a polite and dignified and non-threatening way, which the Union Bears did, then they're absolutely right to do it. It's not been good enough at Rangers. And anyone who thinks that it has, I think, is a bit deluded. We've got in, you know, Patrick Stewart now, he's been speaking about what he's going to do. Unfortunately, because we're all impatient and we want success now, we need to let him do his job. But I think what it did say was it said to him, we're watching, you know, you need to do this well. We're not just prepared to endlessly. So, I think it made its point. But for me, it was maybe just a wee bit too quick on it. However, you could argue the fact we're still talking about it a few weeks later. Maybe it did work.
Maybe it did work. Aye. David, it has been a while and I've thoroughly enjoyed the catch up with you, my friend. And before I let you go, just to that wee bit of nostalgia for you again, producer John, can you press that button for me? For the football phone-in.
This is
there
the
we go.
Real football phone-in with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now.
And
on
David Edgar.
I feel it listening to that. I should neck 10 pints and head to the shed in Shawlands.
David Edgar, from the Heart and Hand podcast, as always, my friend, it has been an absolute pleasure. And one day we will sit and have a wee pint and discuss all the things that we weren't allowed to discuss on this podcast.
Legally, yeah. No, pleasure, mate. Thanks. It was lovely to talk to you.
Cheers, bud. All the best, David. It's now time for the quiz. Right, this is where we get quite competitive. And now, my record when it comes to those who pop in to help out is pretty good. I think I've only lost one when Stephen's not here. And I'm going to continue that run today by taking on Jordan Young with the big Scottish football quiz. It is a shootout quiz. We're each going to get 5 questions. But at any point during the quiz, you can go for the top bin, which is a harder question, and it is worth 2 points.
Right, okay.
So it's there to use at any point you like. And in charge of the quiz is the one and only Sweaty Octopus, Lazy Bastard Shitebag, producer John.
I really don't like how this is catching on, this name now.
Yeah, I see people on Twitter
too. People are coming up to me in the pub.
Good.
People are sending AI pictures of octopuses working in a radio studio.
Correct. There's
really
loads.
I don't like it.
There's
I really
loads.
I don't like it anyway.
Keep calling him a sweaty octopus because that's what he is.
Channel 5 Ewan's and the sweaty octopus.
Aye, right, exactly. Right, we're ready.
Right, okay,
shit, you need a pen, mate.
Right.
Right.
Where are the pens?
The pens are at the other side of the studio.
I'll get them. You stay there, Jordan.
Right.
You can tell him how much you love me.
Right, we'll fix the quiz then, Jordan, will we?
Yes.
Give you all the answers right now. Oh, he's away.
I never cope well with these quizzes. I get nervous. Oh, I'm getting a variety of pens.
Oh, right, he's back.
There we are.
Can't give you all the answers there.
Right, let's do it.
Right, okay then, Ewan. Right, you ready?
Yeah, go on.
Right, okay. Question number one. Remember, write your answers down.
Yeah.
Who holds the record for the most goals scored in a single season since the turn of the century in Scotland's top flight? Who holds the record for most goals scored in a single season since the turn of the century in Scotland's top flight?
What, the turn of this century?
Yeah.
Since the 2000s?
Yeah. Well, that is the turn of the century, Ewan, yeah.
I'm suddenly feeling confident.
Go on, give me the question again.
Who holds the record for most goals scored in a single season since the turn of the century in Scotland's top flight? So that's the top league, Ewan. Write down your answers. Jordan's thinking.
Were
you straight in there?
Yeah.
Were you?
I'm going to say obvious. It's not obvious, but I think there's an outstanding candidate.
Have you got something written down, Ewan?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'll go first then because he thinks he's got it. I think it is Chris Boyd.
You've written Chris Boyd. Jordan, what have you written?
Larson.
Is it Larson?
One of you is completely correct. And that person is Jordan Young.
What are the goals? What is the
record? 36 or something?
35. 2000, 2001 season. So just.
Are you sure on that Boyd didn't beat that?
Aye. 35 goals in a season.
Boyd scored more goals than Larson over his Rangers career.
That's where I've got
his career. He broke the record, aye, but.
Right, okay, question two. Jordan's
question
one up.
Number two. What year did Scotland's national team first compete in the World Cup? In what year did Scotland's national team first compete in the World Cup?
I've got an answer.
Straight away?
Not straight away, but I'm 75% confident.
Jordan, you got an answer?
He's a Rangers fan, he doesn't like Scotland.
Take that back.
Ask him about England and he'll be in there.
Boo. Yes, I've got an answer.
Right, okay. Right, brilliant. You and what have you written down? Because I think you're quite confident on this.
No, I'm not. But I've went with 1950.
50. Jordan.
1968.
Oh, no. 50 can't be right.
You've written it down, Ewan. And are you right? Is Jordan right?
What did you say, Jordan?
Oh, can't it? Because...
Oh, no, it can't be 58.
Isn't it a World Cup year, mate?
Oh, exactly. 68 can't be a World Cup
year. No, because obviously we all know what happened 54. In 66.
I'm going to go...
No, you've written down your fucking answer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm an idiot. I'll take that.
It's okay.
I'm not sure
this is wrong.
What is it?
You and your 4 years out, it's 54.
Is it 54?
Right, still 1-0 to Jordan.
Yeah.
And your next question is, which team are the oldest club in Scotland?
They're still playing today?
Yeah.
And they're like, are they one of the 42 clubs in the Scottish Football
That's
League?
That's a clue. I'll give you that. They're one of the 42. Which team are the oldest team in Scotland? There's probably a joke to be made about Rangers at this point.
Let's not make that, Sweaty Octopus.
Don't you start.
Don't you start slagging the Rangers.
Have you got an answer?
Yes. I'm not confident, no, but I've got an answer.
You got it right.
The oldest football club in Scottish football history.
Yes.
That's a really good question, that. I'm intrigued to know what the answer is because I don't fucking know.
I think it's quite obvious.
Is it?
I would say so. Write something down, Ewan. Your
I don't write down, because I'll just shout out my answer and then Jordan can show his.
Right, okay. Right, okay.
Are you confident, mate?
No,
not
really.
You're not
confident?
No. Right, Ewan, what is your answer?
My answer is going to be Berwick Rangers.
Berwick Rangers. Berwick Rangers. You asked the question. Somebody was in the 42 earlier on.
You said it wasn't.
I said it was.
Did he say it was? Did he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Brechin then. I'll go Brechin.
Brechin aren't in the 42 either, you idiot. They're in the Highland League.
I'll go...
No,
I've
you've said Berwick Rangers.
If I can't change my World Cup,
you're an idiot. Right. Jordan, what have you written down?
Queen's Park.
Oh,
Queen's
no.
Park.
Oh, no.
It's 2-0 to Jordan.
Oh,
There are two questions to go, Ewan, which leads me to the question.
No, I'm going for a normal one.
You're just hoping that Jordan falls down then?
Yeah, because I've still got that the top bit to go for. Go.
Well, okay. Right. Oof. Next question. How many goals did Dennis Law get for Scotland?
He wrote that down immediately.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be absolutely guessing.
If you get this right, I'm going to have to go for top bin on my next question.
It's a complete guess. Complete guess.
Yeah.
Jordan can go first then.
Right, Jordan, what you got?
36.
Wrong.
And Marshall has saved!
30.
Yes!
What'd you say, Ewan?
30.
2-1.
Question 5.
Now, this is where it gets interesting.
No, not taking a top bin.
Ewan, you could take your top bin.
No, don't you dare, because I think he's getting the fifth question wrong.
So you want to try and take it to a tie break?
I want to take it to a tie break, because right. I think he gets the fifth question wrong.
You're all right in tie breaks, Ewan.
I don't give a... I'm quite good at tie breaks, so I'm taking it to a tie break, right. Because he's got the pressure on him. He's going to get the fifth question wrong. I'm going to get right, take it to a tie break, and I'm going to win the quiz.
How do you know I don't thrive under this pressure?
You don't, right. Mate. You just don't.
Right, okay.
Go.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's a who am I? Remember we did this a couple of weeks ago, right? Okay, so it's a who am I? So who am I? I have played for Bayern Munich, Chelsea and Rangers, among other clubs. I have 82 caps for my country, although my brother has 104. Who am I?
Use the clubs again.
I played for Bayern Munich, Chelsea and Rangers, among other clubs. I have 82 caps for my country, although my brother has 104. Who am I? Two Rangers supporters on the show, so one of these is bound to get it.
I've got it.
Oh, man.
Do you read it again, Jordan?
Shh, 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 shh.
Nah, I don't know it.
Right, write down an answer.
Bayern Munich, Chelsea.
I've played for Bayern Munich, Chelsea and Rangers.
Shut up, you need to shut your face.
Let me repeat it, Jordan.
You've repeated the question fucking 3 times. He doesn't need a 4.
I have played
right?
for Bayern Munich, Chelsea and Rangers and other clubs. I have 82 caps for my country, although my brother has 100.
Why you fucking did you?
Who am I?
Time's running out, mate.
I don't know.
Jordan,
my mind
you call yourself
like,
a Rangers supporter.
I mean,
that's it, right? Time's
not up yet. You've got to write something down, you Jordan.
He doesn't know the answer.
Absolutely empty.
It's gone. And the answer, because he's not written anything down, is Brian Loudrup, because his brother was Michael. Yeah!
Brian played for Bayern Munich.
Yes.
I never knew he played for Bayern Munich. He was in Italy.
Right.
We got him from Italy.
Yeah, but he also plays for Bayern Munich.
Well, that's not allowed because I didn't know that. No, can we ask a question? I know the answer.
Right,
yeah, you're
not
getting into the main stand at Ibrox anymore, Jordan. That's for sure.
When did he play for Bayern Munich?
I think he went Copenhagen to Bayern Munich and then Bayern Munich to Italy. I think that was the kind of progression.
And then on the Rangers.
What was he, like 8-year-old or something?
No, he scored it. He had about a good old few appearances for Bayern Munich.
Did he?
It was over 50 appearances for Bayern Munich, huh?
That was right in my era.
Welcome back at Ibrox anymore.
By the way, what a comeback! I was 2-0 down after 3 questions, and the last 2, I've taken it to a tie break.
Right, let's go.
I'm absolutely dead on my feet, right?
Bayern Munich.
Right.
Drop.
Closest 2 question.
Go on.
Right, these are both. We've got Jambo Bear and we've got Jordan Bear on the show, right? So, we ask you this question. John Gregg has the most appearances for Rangers, but how many does he have? Write down your answers.
Nearest 2 wins. John Gregg has the most appearances for Rangers. How many?
Maybe you have to explain to Jordan who John Gregg is. Since
he actually lives near me as well, so get it right, Rooney.
Did John Gregg play for Rangers?
And he's a neighbour of yours as well.
I mean, neighbour stretching it, but
right, okay.
Same town.
That's not a neighbour.
He lives in the same town.
Right, I've got another one. I mean, I think this is a biased question because he's a Rangers man and I'm no.
Yeah.
So I've had a wee guess.
Right, okay. John, have you written something down?
Yes.
Right, okay. Unveil your working. You and Cameron, what have you written down?
I went with 340.
340. Jordan Young, what have you written down?
512.
That's
too high.
So that's a something lot.
For
in
that
the
era.
Mi- if there's something
for
in
that
the
era. That's as soon as I say it, that era, there's not as nearly as much games.
That era, I mean, but bearing in mind, John Gregg played his whole
for a long time, yes. Yes, a long time.
From when he was a young boy.
So for something in the middle, you need to do your maths here.
Right, okay, you can give me your number again.
340.
Jordan?
512.
Well,
just say who the winner of the quiz is and you can guess what the answer is.
The winner of the quiz.
I can't handle this.
John Gregg had 755 appearances.
Oh my God.
For yes! Rangers, which means Jordan yes! Young
shit.
Wins the quiz.
It's the first time he's beat me. Prick. Absolute prick.
Even though he couldn't get Brian Laudrup.
Prick.
Bayern Munich, Stewards Inquiry.
You're going to be checking out when you leave here, eh?
I'm going to be gracious. There was a lot of chat for Ewan about how he would beat me and, you know, sort of injury time and how I would struggle. And I kind of kept my counsel, kept my powder dry. Aye. And I'd just like to say, you played well, Ewan, but ultimately you didn't play well enough.
I don't need your sarcasm.
Right, Ewan, you can't storm out this week because you need to finish the show, all right?
I need to talk some shite
right,
here, don't I?
You ready?
Right, fire off the music.
Right, there you go.
Where's the bit? Where's the script?
The script
it's
is...
probably out of date anyway, so...
we'll be back on Monday.
With brilliant!
The big Scottish Football brilliant. Podcast. Yeah, back Monday. We'll record another one for you. We'll look back at the European football, the weekend's action in the Scottish Football League.
You all right, Ewan? You okay?
Yeah.
You okay?
I hate losing to you, you prick.
Oh.
And I would like to thank Jordan, but I hope his next job is a hedgehog.
It's a taking part that counts, Ewan.
Thank you to the sweaty octopus. Also to Becky from Dior.
Yes, thanks, Becky.
Thanks, Becky.
For my taster.
Go and slap him when you see him in the Croy train station.
She will anyway, I'm a Rangers fan.
Wave. Wave. Bye, everybody.